Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, investors have been reminded that risks abound, and case in point, equities are finding new challenges to move forward, with some also starting to take some steps back. And some indices across the region are already mounting a retreat of some sorts. How should investors handle some of the possible risks in the month ahead? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Michael Dyer. He's the investment director for multi-asset strategies with M&G Investments based out in Hong Kong. He's here to share with us how he's watching all of the ever-changing currents and how this is influencing his rebalancing of some of his strategies, if at all. Mr. Dyer, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you're in good health out in Hong Kong. And welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So as we noted, Michael, stocks, especially here in Singapore and somewhat in Hong Kong, have started to come off their recent highs, and they're showing signs of either trembling or just good old-fashioned fatigue. Are we seeing the makings of a possible second decline? And if so, are markets collapsing or are funds just going someplace else in the broad spectrum of different asset classes?
That's an excellent question. I think you hit on it in your question, actually, the word fatigue. What we've had this year, particularly in the equity market, is we've obviously had a huge shock to the system, and we saw equity markets fall in the region of 40%, depending on the market. And then we've seen a very strong rally since then. And we've been living in a world where the data series, whether it's economics or whether it's corporate earnings, you know, which are always backward looking, have been sort of rendered nonsensical in the last quarter for Q2 because of the impact of COVID. And now we're starting to get numbers, and we're starting to get stats around economic growth, and we're starting to get guidance from companies, which will help give a bit of clarity on what the direction is. And I think the market's taking some time to absorb what that means. So it's pausing and it's digesting that information that's out there and trying to work out where it goes next.
So this pullback from markets, do you think that this is going to be as significant or as dire as, say, the first quarter pullback that really more or less resembled a meltdown?
I would say, you know, we, as multi-asset investors, we look from the top down, and we're trying to identify areas where the market has really decoupled from fundamentals. And what we saw in the March period, the 3 to 4 weeks where we had a very sharp fall in equity markets, was a move from markets which arguably at the end of January were relatively complacent around the spread of the virus, one through fear and ultimately into panic. So in that sort of 20th of March, 21st of March period, you had arguably forced selling for some institutional investors, people deleveraging their portfolios, and markets really undershot or overshot on the downside. We've had that recovery since. Where that leaves us is that there's definitely risks ahead in terms of real effect of the economies being shut and the slow pace at which they're going to return to work and the disruption across sectors. But I think we've had that risk event, which means that markets sell off broadly. And now we're going to be looking at a little bit more differentiation between good and bad within markets and across markets. So to answer your question, I think there are risks ahead. There will be pockets of volatility. Our own strategy is to hopefully use those pockets of volatility in particular markets to add to equity allocations. So at the moment, we're roughly at neutral. So trying to keep a little bit of dry powder to increase those allocations on volatility. But I don't think we'll see as pervasive as a sell-off as we saw in the initial shock.
So let's move from equities and look into fixed income. In fact, last week, as treasury strategist that I spoke to said that fixed income is a bit difficult now with yields so low across the world. Nevertheless, there is still that demand for a little bit more safety, a little bit more defensiveness. But is this a sentiment you share on not having a lot of opportunities in the fixed income space because of how low yields have fallen? Or do you think that there's still some plays to be made when looking across the broad spectrum of bonds?
I think as a multi-asset investor, when you look at fixed income markets, there's good news and bad news, if particularly, you know, starting with the treasury market. The bad news is obviously that yields are up historic lows. So, you know, from a forward-looking total return expectation or even from an income perspective, it's hard to get really excited by them. But at the same time, in a portfolio context of providing diversification, they've been a bellwether of support. So when equity markets have done poorly, you've seen the US Treasury market in particular do very well. So in our portfolios, as I mentioned, we're towards neutral on equities, but we're comfortable holding equity risk because we can barbell that with an exposure to US Treasuries, which we expect to do well in periods of volatility. And if that volatility occurs, then we should have gains from the Treasuries that we can use to reallocate to equities. It's very classic strategy in that respect. Moving to areas of the fixed income market, I mean, the US 10-year will give you less than 1% these days, what, 55, 60 basis points. High yield, if you move out to that, it'll give you sort of 6%. We are seeing some attractive investments across the credit space, but we're being relatively selective about where we go in there, given where we believe that the market's a bit to be right now.
Speaking to Mr. Michael Dyer, the investment director for multi-asset strategies at M&G Investments, and I want to focus on the multi-asset strategy for M&G moving into the second half. You've mentioned keeping some dry powder in reserve in case there are opportunities in equities, a possible barbell strategy. But overall, what is the key opportunity and the key risk that you're allocating towards and hedging against, and thus ultimately influencing M&G's multi-asset strategy into the last 5 months of the year?
I think the biggest expectation for us is that we're going to need to be a lot more tactical in the coming 6, 12, 18 months. The recovery from COVID on a global scale is not going to be uniform by any stretch of the imagination. I phrase it as a two steps forward, one step back recovery, you know, such as we've seen in Hong Kong here, where we've had a tightening of restrictions again. I expect we'll see that, you know, globally. We've seen that in the UK. We've seen that in the US, where we've seen pick up in cases. What we're expecting broadly is that we're going to create more short-term opportunities for investment from that. Right now, we have a slight preference in equities for Europe. There's a relatively good narrative building in Europe around, you know, some of the major economies being through the worst of the virus a little bit sooner than other places, although marginal pickups in cases in the last couple of weeks. The European Recovery Fund is, we think, a sign to the market that, you know, Europe is going to do what it takes to keep Europe together, and that's a good bid for, or good for a bid on European assets. So we do like European equities. Also plays into a recovery trade that, you know, if you do believe that we are moving through a cyclical recovery a little bit with this, then we also have some allocation in Japan as well.
The one thing that folks have also noticed in the last 6 weeks also is the US dollar's decline. As a multi-asset strategist, Michael, how have you regarded the dollar's recent weakness? And is this influencing any of your decisions with regards to reallocating assets across your strategy at all?
I think broadly what we've seen is a reversal of the strength that you had in the dollar in March, when assets were really flying into safe havens where, you know, everyone wanted to hold dollar-denominated assets. And as we've moved through the crisis and the market's been forward-looking, you think a lot of this weakness we've seen recently has been something of a reversal of that, with assets, risk appetites returning to a broader spread of assets. We, you know, in terms of US dollar assets, we do like them in the US Treasury market, as I mentioned, for diversification. We do hold some US equities, although with preference for Europe a little bit right now. We don't have a strong conviction that this dollar weakness will continue for a persistent period of time. We are slightly underweight the dollar. We don't think it's the end of the dollar hegemony for the global economy, but we are expecting other currencies to do better. So we prefer, we've got a small overweight in sterling, and we've got a small overweight in some of the emerging markets currencies, which we think got beaten up pretty badly in March and are now something a little bit more attractive.
Finally, Michael, what lessons can retail investors in particular pick up from multi-asset strategies? It sounds like it's a very sophisticated strategy to employ, but is there anything that you might be able to advise the retail investors or our listeners, any sort of their best practices that they can pick up from multi-asset strategists like yourself?
I think there's several benefits that investors can take from multi-asset investing. The first one, I think, is understanding your objectives and your time horizon. We talk as markets, we're always talking about what the best ideas are, but we have to place that within the context of diversification. So as I mentioned, our portfolio today, you know, in the shorter term, we don't see that equities are particularly attractive. But in the medium to longer term, we are seeing that, you know, in a world where there is stimulus available, a QE is effectively pushing people from the bond market by keeping bond yields low to the equity markets, that we want to be holders of equities. So understanding, you know, that in the short term, we want to be in a position where we can take advantage of opportunities to enter for the longer term, you know, i.e. if markets pull back a little bit, we can make allocations, is an important understanding for investors to not just think about what the best trade for tomorrow is, but think about the roadmap for their allocation towards their end objective, be it retirement or be it income generation. And on the other side of that, on the equation with fixed income, we talked about, even with yields so low, we do see diversification benefit in holding fixed income assets. you know, setting your portfolio up that there is good ballast in the portfolio to help balance out returns when markets are softer is very important for clients, whether it be an institution or a retail investor. And trying to get some of that asset allocation thinking into retail investors' hands is really what we believe multi-asset managers should be able to do. Through that, we can hopefully create a investment process where we can be a bit more tactical and respond to changes in the market.
Mr. Michael Dyer, Investment Director for Multi-Asset Strategies at M&G Investments. We thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to speak with us on Money FM 89.3 about what the firm is thinking moving to the last 5 months of the year. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety in these times, and we look forward to having you back on the show. Have a great afternoon ahead, sir.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.